News Magazine and on Twitter at BTL Radio News. Thanks for listening on WPPM in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, KKFI in Kansas City, Missouri, KODX in Seattle, Washington, and dozens of other community radio stations across the U.S. and abroad. Our theme music was written by...
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Non-human radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Ohm Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi, and having the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. Ohm Foods serves homemade teas and lemonade, acai bowls, and smoothies blended with coconut water, and you can find them at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., with to-go and catering available. For more info, you can find them at iloveohmfoods.com and on Facebook. And Non-Human Radio is also made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured, with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. Up next, Non-Human Radio. Welcome to show 20-01, the January 1, 2020 episode of Non-Human Radio, a roundup of current news on animal issues focusing on animal agriculture, animal rights, and veganism. I'm your host, Jeannie Trezino, and I'm here every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. on KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico. You can listen to streaming and archive shows at kzfr.org. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to a new decade. Here we are in 2020. Today, I'm happy to say my guest is Dr. Angie Sadeghi, a California-based physician and specialist in gastroenterology and weight loss. As an expert in all areas of the digestive system, she is passionate about helping her patients live long, healthy lives, as all doctors should be. She is a special guest for this show because after switching to a vegetarian diet, she later made the decision to eliminate dairy as well and then adopted a vegan lifestyle. She's a full-time practicing medical doctor, a passionate vegan advocate, and an avid fitness enthusiast. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sadeghi.
Thank you for having me, Jeannie. Happy New Year.
Likewise. It's about time, and let's hope that 2020 is a little better than 2019.
Yes.
So, Dr. Sadeghi, I'm really happy. Actually, Dr. Angie is what you go by, right?
I go by Dr. Angie.
Dr. Angie. Let's go by that. Tell us a little bit about tell our listeners a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I'm a medical doctor, as you said, gastroenterologist, double boarded in internal medicine and gastroenterology. I was born in Iran, immigrated here when I was in high school. I attended high school in Mission Viejo, California, went through my training, medical school and internship and residency. I did my residency at USC in Los Angeles. I finished internal medicine residency and did a fellowship in gastroenterology at LA County USC Hospital. And so enough of the boring stuff, but here's what's interesting.
That's not about boring. Those are credentials, and it's important to establish that. You're not just, you are more than qualified.
Well, thank you. But, you know, Jeannie, 15 years ago, I was in the midst of my training at USC in internal medicine. And it's a very busy training, a lot of sick patients. And we were just going through the motions of learning how to take care of all these sick patients with medications, procedures, surgeries, and all of the typical stuff. I was sitting down one day in the midst of my training, eating lunch with a friend of mine who was also a resident. And let me tell you, up until that point, I was basically eating the standard American diet, just like most of my patients who would end up in trouble and in the hospital. I was eating poorly, burgers, fries, red meat, French fries, fried things, all kinds of dairy-rich pastries. I was a cheeseaholic. I was eating all kinds of bad stuff. I had zero energy. I had to push myself every day, drank a lot of coffee. I would drive to the hospital 17 miles, and then I would have to sleep in the parking lot in my car to get the energy to get out, get myself out of the car to go and see patients. So my energy was lacking. I was depressed, and it was really a hard situation because we have 80-hour rule week, right? So
right.
80 hours per week, we're working very hard, and it's extremely difficult to get yourself around if you're not very healthy. I was sitting down having lunch with my friend Sarah, who was a very active, fit resident, and she had tons of energy, unlike me. And we were having lunch together, and she was having a plate of salad, colors of the rainbow, beautiful fruits and vegetables on her plate, and I had a dead animal on my plate. I had a burger. It was red meat with French fries, and I looked at her, and sarcastically I said, "Huh, what are you eating there? Where's your meat?" And she said, "I don't eat meat." So now, remember, back then I didn't know anything about nutrition because we're not really taught that in med school.
Which is unfortunate, and which we've talked about on the show before. Doctors are so highly trained, and you spend so many hours in school and in residency, and you have a lot to learn. So nutrition gets overlooked, and it's unfortunate.
Yes, and guess what? Even nutritionists and dietitians in this country have a twisted they have a twisted idea of what nutrition is all about. There's so much bias in nutrition training, and most of the dietitians and nutritionists I speak with don't really understand nutrition like they should, and the literature they've been taught is twisted. So
sure.
Unless you really want to learn, and unless you really seek the truth out, you will never know. I've surrounded my clinic with dietitians who really understand nutrition, but that's like one in a thousand cases. So
It's a known issue here in Butte County. It's hard to find a practitioner who supports plant-based eating.
So, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you should see the things that my dietitians support in the hospital. It's just, we can talk about that later. But I looked at Sarah, my friend in residency, and she was eating a plate of colorful vegetables here. I was eating this dead animal. And I looked at her and I said, "What are you eating?" And she said, "Where's your meat?" And she says, "I don't eat meat." And I thought, well, why not? And I was ready to say something really sarcastic. And she said, "I love animals and I don't eat them." And at that moment, 1,000 thoughts went through my head, because I had a dog named Jackie, and she was like my daughter. I loved her to death. And when she said, "I love animals," I realized I made a connection in my mind at that time that I was eating an animal. And even though this animal that was killed was not my pet, that animal has feelings. That animal had a mom and a dad.
Right.
Feelings, scared to be killed and shot, or whatever they do at the these slaughterhouses.
Right.
These poor animals cry and they don't want to die. And even before they're killed, they are put through some really horrible, inhumane conditions. And I thought, I'm eating a sentient being.
That's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line. And back then, I had zero idea about the health benefits of a vegan diet or a whole food plant-based diet. But I decided that I was not going to eat another animal. So I finished that burger. In my thought, I was like, I'm not going to waste it, this meat right now. So I finished it, and I never ate meat again. That was about 15 years ago. But about 5 years ago, I was at a seminar where the speaker spoke about the deleterious effects of dairy and how bad dairy is and how it's baby calf growth fluid and all the hormones and all the growth factors and saturated fat is meant to just blow you up and make you overweight and sick and diseased. And I thought, wow, well, I need to lose weight because I was 30 pounds overweight. And I thought, well, that's it. I'm not going to eat dairy anymore. That same night, my cousin, who's a vegan, said to me, well, if you're doing this for moral reasons, I have to tell you that dairy is way more inhumane than meat.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I had my two reasons. I wanted to lose weight. I wanted to be healthier. And I didn't want to contribute to the torture of the animals in the dairy industry. So I stopped eating dairy. But this is the interesting part. Now, I did this for the animals,
right? It's all been interesting so far, as far as I'm concerned.
But. Thank you. But, you know, what happened is I was suffering for many years, about 20 years or more, with debilitating skin rash called eczema. It was pustular eczema, where you have these really ugly looking itchy pustular lesions all over the body, including hands, where I was embarrassed to shake my patient's hands. It was so itchy that I had to zonk myself out on Benadryl every night to be able to sleep, and I had to rub tubes and tubes of corticosteroid cream on my skin, and just so the itching would stop, so I could sleep.
Right, and not treating the underlying. Whatever was causing
right.
it.
Right. I'd been to
what
six.
What was causing it?
I'll tell you that in a second. I'd been to six dermatologists. None of them told me what the underlying cause could have been. But I stopped eating dairy for moral reasons. And obviously, I want to lose weight. But guess what? A couple of weeks later, Jeannie, my entire rash went away and my skin cleared. And it was pretty miraculous, because I had been using all these medicines and trying to get rid of the rash, and it happened to be dairy. For those of you who are listening, dairy is the worst food you could put into your body. Dairy is baby calf growth fluid. It has a sugar called lactose, and it has two proteins, including casein and whey. And a lot of people, about 70% of the population, is lactose intolerant. And even if you're not lactose intolerant, you have to know that a lot of people have an allergy to the protein dairy. So a lot of kids get sinus problems from it, ear infections from it. Adults get skin problems from it, acne and eczema and things like that. And I happen to have the eczema because of the dairy. And the minute I stopped eating, and I had acne too. Acne cleared. My eczema went away. I started losing weight. I lost about 30 pounds of unwanted weight, and I started becoming extremely strong at the gym, where I was doing 75 to 100 push-ups, and I was unstoppable. I had so much energy, I didn't even know what to do with myself.
That's awesome. So yeah. So the dairy was holding you back.
It was definitely holding me back.
Holding you back and holding the cows down.
Definitely. Yeah. The baby calves.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and we've talked about the dairy industry before, but I'll just summarize it, that in order for a cow to produce milk, she has to be kept pregnant, because no female lactates unless they are pregnant, and that calf is separated from his or her mom, like, from day one. It's just not efficient for a commercial dairy to keep that calf with his or her mom. And if it's a male calf, there is literally no use for that animal in the dairy industry, and they get sent off to be created, you know, turn into dog food or pot pies or food for the school lunch program. All these lovely things, which we've talked about on the show before. Dairy is indeed one of the cruelest industries, and it's hard on the cow to be producing the massive amounts of milk that they are now bred to produce. And there are definitely more humane choices for beverages that a person can make, which you learned. Dr. Angie, we're speaking with Dr. Angie Sadeghi, a gastroenterologist who is sharing her knowledge and experience and compassion about a vegan diet with us. So that is really a remarkable story, that you went to six dermatologists and never once got the advice to think that it was your diet that might be underlying those what sounds like a very sad and hard to deal with condition, especially if you have to deal with clients on a daily basis. You're listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM. So, what do you think? So, one of the benefits for you of a vegan diet was this clearing up of your eczema, the severe case of eczema. What are some of the other benefits?
Well, you know, the GI manifestations are great. You know, I mean, I have to tell you, I have 9 out of 10 patients who come to see me with IBS, previously diagnosed as irritable bowel syndrome actually have lactose intolerance that was, unrecognized. I have people with constipation, chronic constipation, gas and bloating. There are a lot of people, tons and tons of people that come to me every day with bloating, gas, belching, heartburn, reflux, chronic constipation, diarrhea, abdominal pain. And it turns out that dairy has to do with a significant portion of these causes. Now, when I say dairy, a lot of people think, well, I don't drink milk. It doesn't matter. It's the fact that you're eating cheese, you're eating butter, you're eating yogurt, and no, yogurt is not good for your gut. Just because it has probiotics, it doesn't mean anything. It's like drinking soda for potassium. If you're having any gut problems at all, I want you to start reading labels and avoiding any milk in your food. And sometimes it's hidden. We have to look for words, whey, like the whey protein powders, casein, lactose, milk. I mean, you have to be meticulous because it's a cheap filler. It's very cheap. It's a subsidized food. So it's mass produced and there's a huge excess in this country and they try to put it in everything to fluff it up and bulk it up and sell it for more. So you really have to be careful. You have to be the advocate of your own health.
Because now consumers are aware of looking at the protein. That protein value on the nutrition label on the back. And one really good way of bumping up that protein number is by adding in whey. And whey is a byproduct of the cheese-making industry. It's when you make cheese, you basically lose water and whey protein out of the dairy milk. And manufacturers are more than happy to package that up and figure out another way to make profit off of it, and that's by selling it as cheap protein additives.
You wouldn't believe how many fitness competitors and bodybuilders I get with abdominal problems and GI problems and bloating and heartburn and all kinds of diseases because of that whey protein.
That is that's sad to know, but not surprising because these proteins and the lactose sugars are just our bodies are just not very good at digesting that stuff. Some folks may have some ability to digest lactose because they have the enzyme lactase, but by and large that's a capacity that we lose at a very young age. So you can get both constipation and diarrhea.
And it's important to know that because a lot of people with constipation don't think that they have lactose intolerance, and it doesn't mean anything. Just because you're constipated doesn't mean you don't have lactose intolerance.
Okay, so what are some of the myths around a vegan diet that you have to just?
How many hours do you have? Well, you know, one of the ones that I was. Everyone's guilty of at some point is protein deficiency. Everyone associates eating plants with not having enough protein, which couldn't be farther from the truth. All muscle came from plants. The animals you're eating, the cows, the chickens, they all developed their muscles by eating plant foods. And plant foods are protein rich. It's actually healthier source of protein because it's devoid of tons of saturated fat and cholesterol that would come with meat if you're eating meat and dairy to get your protein. So protein is plentiful. And if there's one thing you could take away from this show today is please don't be a proteinaholic. Protein is so ubiquitous in everything. Even fruits have protein. And I never spend a minute of my time worrying whether I'm getting enough protein. And I'm a fitness enthusiast. That I work out every day. I do weights every day. And I have zero protein problems, zero protein deficiency. And I have a ton of muscles. I've competed in fitness eating a whole food plant-based diet. So protein is not an issue. As long as you're eating fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, grains, and legumes, you're getting a ton of protein.
It's important to consume enough calories, right? Because you can hear folks going on raw food diets or clean diets, and they're eating mostly leafy greens, which are great, but they're not high calorie.
Yeah.
And so if you're consuming enough calories, and I must say, you must also enjoy your food. That affects your temperament and your mind and your ability to stick with it. So eat tasty, reasonably calorie-dense and nutrition-dense meals, and protein will take care of itself.
It does. It always takes care of itself without one having to obsess over it.
Yeah. So, and, eating beans is always a really good thing to do. So what, like, so what are some other myths that we want to bust? So protein, you say, is not an issue.
Not an issue. One of the things that I hear is people think that soy has estrogen. Well, soy doesn't have mammalian estrogen. What has estrogen is, for example, dairy that comes from a pregnant cow, or the meat that you're eating that came from a cow. So soy does not have estrogen. What it has is it's called a phytoestrogen. And phytonutrients are essential for, they actually play a role as antioxidants. They actually compete with the estrogen receptors. So perhaps they decrease your risk of breast cancer. And they actually have done studies where they showed that people with history of breast cancer or breast cancer, they were given soy products. One group got soy products, one group didn't, and they realized that the group that didn't that did get soy products had a lower risk of cancer and cancer recurrence. So it's actually very important that you include phytoestrogen rich foods into your diet. And by the way, soy is not the only one. There are a lot of other plant foods that have phytoestrogen, but what happens is soy gets a bad name because this group at some point was hired by the meat or the dairy industry. They decided to demonize soy because they were probably going to lose profits, right? And they tried to demonize soy, and they thought, oh, well, how do we demonize it? Well, it's a really nutritious food. It has all the essential amino acids. It's got fiber. It's got phytoestrogens. How do we demonize such good plant food? Wait a minute. It's got something called phytoestrogen. How about if we fakely make some fake news that it has estrogen? People don't know the difference between phytoestrogen or estrogen. We just
it's an understandable confusion.
It is. And so for them, it wasn't a confusion. They knew exactly what they're doing. There were no clinical trials to say that phytoestrogens cause cancer. However, they started a scare without any medical evidence. And it worked. It worked because to this day, my patients, when I ask them to eat edamame or I ask them to eat tofu or tempeh, which is a healthier source of protein, they question whether soy causes breast cancer.
What about the guys?
You won't have gynecomastia, I promise.
You mean boobs.
Man boobs. You won't have man boobs, I promise. You can have all the phytoestrogens you want.
That is good to know. I have to say, like, if consuming soy products was a big problem, we would have seen problems in Asian communities.
Absolutely.
Over the millennia that they've been consuming tofu and soybeans as a primary protein source in areas where animal agriculture was not for human consumption, but as aids to farming, as opposed to eating. So, by and large, the majority of soy crops are fed to animals when it's a perfectly good human food source, which is just a shame in our overall food system that we grow. We set aside so much land to grow wheat and corn and soy that we feed to animals when they're perfectly good sources of nutrition for people.
Yes. So another myth that I wanted to talk about is iron deficiency. A lot of people, for whatever reason, think that plant foods don't have iron, and they think that they have to eat animal meat to get iron. One thing I have to say is red meat has heme iron, and that's cardiotoxic, so it's not good for your heart. However, plant foods, the type of iron that's in plant foods is actually healthier.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so, sorry, I have this little tickle.
Sorry.
Yeah, so heme iron is actually cardiotoxic. However, plant iron is much healthier. Now, heme iron is more bioavailable, so it gets absorbed more readily.
Okay.
But also that could lead to problems, like a lot of people have hemochromatosis, because we're really not, I don't believe we're supposed to eat meat. So when we do, we get an overaccumulation of iron in our liver, and so that's why a lot of guys have hemochromatosis, and that causes liver damage.
Okay, and women tend to have that less because we menstruate.
That's right, we menstruate. Now, here's the thing. If you're a woman listening and you have iron deficiency anemia, go to the source of why you have iron deficiency anemia. It's probably because you have heavy cycles, and no amount of meat or pills are going to suffice. You have to get to the root cause. It's like taking a a basket or a sieve plate and trying to fill it up with water when it has holes. You're filling it up from one side and the water is escaping from the other end. So you're never going to be able to fill that up. It's an impossible task. So a lot of people who have heavy menses, they have to get to the root cause and stop the heavy menses. Also, a lot of people who have celiac disease, their iron deficiency anemia is caused because of celiac disease, and that has gone unrecognized. So if you have iron deficiency anemia, don't go eating liver and beef because that's not going to fix your problem. It's not getting to the root cause. And then you're going to get heart disease because you're trying to eat all this meat, which is not the best source of iron. Okay. You see what I mean?
Okay, I see what you're saying. You're listening to Dr. Angie Sadeghi, who is a gastroenterologist. She is an MD. She is not dispensing medical guidance, but just some basic underlying good practices for healthy plant-based eating.
Another thing I wanted to say, because of the dairy industry, we are brainwashed to think only the only source of calcium is dairy. And when you think you ask 10 people, well, how do you get calcium? They think dairy. Well, don't start shifting your mindset and realize that green vegetables have calcium as well. And tahini happens to be a very good source of calcium. So include tahini in your diet, and calcium deficiency should not be an issue.
That is very good news. We are coming to the end of the hour with Dr. At the end of the half hour for Non-Human Radio. You've been listening to Non-Human Radio on KZFR 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio, hosted by yours truly, Jeannie Trezino. You've been listening to my interview with Dr. Angie Sadeghi, a full-time practicing medical doctor and a passionate vegan advocate. Do you have any last words before we close out, Dr. Angie?
Go vegan, help the animals. It's the humane thing to do. Go vegan for your health. You will get healthier, I promise. I've never seen anyone go vegan and not get healthier. And do it for the planet. There are three compelling reasons why you should go vegan. And try to start today, and every day try to get better and better at eating more plants and less animal food.
And how can folks find you, right? Are you
I'm on Instagram at angie.sadeghi, angie.sadeghi. My website, and I do consultations, online consultations to help people, www.drangiehealth.com.
Okay, and I've posted that on our show notes on the Non-Human Radio Facebook page and on our Instagram at ChicoVegan on Instagram, and also at our website at ChicoVegan.com. And you said you're available for telephone or remote consultations as well?
I do telemedicine, yes, with patients all over the world.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Sadeghi.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Now it's time for the Chico Vegan and Animal Rights Calendar of Events. We have a couple of things coming up. January 4th, the Non-Human Rights Project and over two dozen animal advocacy organizations and elephant sanctuaries will be joining together for the International Candlelight for Vigil for Elephants on Saturday, January 4th, 2020. This will be a virtual event where advocates from all over the world will take time to remember the lives of elephants who died in captivity in 2019. For more information, go to nonhumanrights.org. There are currently 15 to 20,000 elephants in captivity worldwide, and all of them deserve better. And the way this campaign works is they will give you graphics that you can download and then add to your own social media profile with a hashtag. It's just a way to kind of change the color of social media, at least for that day. Coming up on January 18th is the Humane Hoax Online Summit. Faced with growing cultural criticism of large-scale animal agriculture, corporations, manufacturers, and consumers alike are turning towards so-called humane methods of animal farming and seeking out alternative labels on animal products. These falsehoods and myths, known as the Humane Hoax, are uncovered and explained in this second annual free online summit on January 18th from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. For more information and to register, go to www.upc-online.org. That's United Poultry Concerns website. And then coming up on February 1st, 2020, the fifth annual Sacktown Veg Fest is being held on Saturday, February 1st, 2020, at the McClellan Conference Center in Sacramento. It's a celebration of vegan, plant-based living featuring vendors, cooking demos, and speakers organized by the Sacramento Vegetarian Society. For more information and advance tickets, go to their website at sacktownvegfest.org. And show links and information links and dates are posted to the Non-Human Radio Facebook page calendar. As always, we have one last piece of business to close out today's show, the Animal Rights Quote of the Week. Our quote of the week is from George Bernard Shaw, who wrote, "Progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything." So think about that as we start out a new year. Think about changing just a little bit about yourself. My thanks again to my guest, Dr. Angie Sadeghi. You can find her on Instagram at angie.sadeghi. Show notes and links to